It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, there it is, and here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting from the tippy top of the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City, a super Tuesday edition of Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. 15 states holding GOP primaries or caucuses, 854 delegates up for grabs. Nikki Haley says she's still got a shot.
Wrong.
We'll go inside those analytics as well as some very daunting polls for the current sitting president of the United States.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
888-788-9910. It is a stacked deck edition of the show. Jim Jordan's going to be here from the 4th Congressional District of Ohio. It's Jenny Failla's congressman. How about it? Jenny Failla's the best. Dana Perino, co-host of America's Newsroom, co-host of The Five, a woman who has covered Super Tuesday. You talk about a shutdown cover. You know, she would be like the Darrell Revis, the Deion Sanders of coverage. You're not going to throw the ball in that direction. She's a shutdown corner. If ever there was one, she will be here as well. And, of course, your calls, texts, tweets, carrier pigeons, whatever you're in. Send a message in a bottle. We don't care. Just 888-788-9910. You know the rules. You could be a Republican. You could be a Democrat. All we ask is that you don't be a boom. Happy Tuesday. Happy Super Tuesday. Champ is in a chippy mood. I got plenty of sleep last night. I'm in town all week. Heading down to Florida this weekend. Friday night, we're in Fort Lauderdale at the Amaturo Theater. There are a few, like literally a few seats left if you want to go get them today. Saturday, Ponte Vedra, we added a second show, and there are a few tickets left to that second show. I would get them today. And that's just me. I'm going to be there. I'm not going to know if you get them or you don't get them. It's going to be packed. It's going to be great. But I always feel terrible when I always post a picture about the gig on like Sunday morning, like, thanks for coming out. And then I get like 500 messages in my thread, like, yeah, I wanted to go, but I couldn't get in. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't, you know, and then people snap at me.
I'll break you in half like a little toothpick.
So go. If you want to go, go. Figure it out. Go. I'll be there. I'll put on a shirt from my overweight figure skater collection, and you're going to hear the height, the absolute height of comedy. I got a tough crowd in the control room today. Going to have to earn my money. Okay, where do we begin? We begin on Super Tuesday. Let me give you the math. Let me tell you what's going on. Fascinating stuff. Okay, Haley has not announced any type of a plan to exit the race. And the good news is there's still a lane open for Nikki Haley. Okay, the bad news is it's in a bowling alley. Like, unless she's going out to bowl a couple of frames, there's no lane. Okay, there is no lane. Okay, will Trump get the 1,215 delegates tonight? Probably not, because these states award partial delegates. But he will clinch it later in the month by like March 12th. Maybe as late as the 19th, because Georgia, Florida, Illinois, and Ohio are also on the ballot. But the point is, the lane will have closed for Nikki Haley. Now, she spoke yesterday, and she's still pivoting to the whole, you know, well, look at the lead against Biden. You know, Trump doesn't lead him by as much as I do. And I get all of that. Fine, if that's the argument. I would argue, okay, that Julia Roberts would enjoy me on a date more than most men because I'm kind of silly. I know a lot of stories. I don't take myself seriously at all. I'll certainly pay for the meal so I can eat more. I mean, look at me.
That boy is a P.I.G. pig.
But the reality is, as much fun as I might be on a date with Julia Roberts, I can't get a date with Julia Roberts.
That's true. That is true.
So all of Nikki's talk about the general hinges on her actually being the nominee in the general, and it's not going to happen. It's just the reality of it is, okay, the only scenario where someone is on this ballot besides Donald Trump is if somehow the lawfare works against him, at which point it ain't going to be Nikki anyway, because Trump's base is going to be as enraged as ever, and there's no way they're going to support somebody they already hate. Okay, the other way would be, heaven forbid, there was some type of a health issue for a guy his age, which is very possible given the age of Biden and certainly Trump. It would appear outwardly Trump's in a lot better shape than Biden is. I mean, Biden's a disaster. I mean, it's, you know, people are on TV trying to sell you on this idea that he's sharp behind the scenes.
If you like Biden so much, name three of his complete sentences.
But if Trump were to come off the ticket, it would open everything back up. Okay, and people who ran might even get back in. But bigger than that is, if Trump were to come off the ticket, he could very well endorse somebody. And I'm going to be honest with you, after the length of which she has stayed in this race, I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's not going to endorse her.
He knows what he's talking about.
So that's the consideration in this moment. Here is Haley, though, talking polls clip one.
And if you look at any of the general election polls, Joe Biden and Donald Trump are even. I think there was a Fox poll today. He was up by two. That's still margin of error. Between last week's poll and this week's poll, I defeat Joe Biden by up to 18 points.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
Now, listen, okay, for Trump's money, he was on Fox and Friends this morning. Okay, if you know, I'm on Fox and Friends every Tuesday morning. Guess who was not on Fox and Friends today? I got bumped for Donald Trump.
That's not right.
What are they, crap, for real? They're like, yeah, sorry, Jimmy, we're going to go with this Trump guy instead.
Why do you do things like that? You're like a crazy person.
I don't know what they're thinking, but they had Trump on instead. It's, you know, it's part of my gig. It's so funny. It's like, you know, and they call you like, yeah, sorry, you're not going to be on at 8. We have Trump on instead. Like, I'm like, why are you explaining this to me? Do you think there's any world where I actually think like I'm entitled to even consideration or acknowledgement? The guy's a former president of the United States. He's probably going to be the next president of the United States. I get it. But anyway, here is Trump responding to Haley's claims that she's got the pole position. Clip two.
It's a lie. She knows it's a lie. Look, I have beaten Biden in every poll taken for the last 3 months. She loses to Biden in the poll. She had one fake poll that was taken a long time ago, actually before she started on her little kick, and where she was up, nobody ever heard of the poll. Nikki Haley loses to Biden. She will lose to Biden. The polls are saying that. And then when you add other candidates, she loses by even more. We are winning against Biden in every single poll, and everybody knows it.
He is winning in the swing states. The bigger problem, really quickly, for the Haleys, for the DeSantises, for the Tim Scotts, for people who ran into this race that genuinely have something to offer the country, they do, is they're all running on potential energy. And what I mean by that is they're trying to sell you on the idea of how their presidency could affect your life, your bottom line, your overall well-being. Okay, Trump represents to so many people kinetic energy in that they've already seen his presidency in motion and they liked it a hell of a whole lot more than they did Joe Biden's.
Biden sucks.
Okay, Biden is historically unpopular. So you understand Trump against Biden, okay, that's who he's running against, and people have the ability to compare and contrast economies. They can compare and contrast borders. They can compare and contrast foreign policy. Okay, and for that reason, it's impossible for any of these candidates to surmount Trump's grip on the party, if only because we already know how he'll govern. Okay, these politicians, you know, DeSantis has certainly given us an idea in Florida. I thought DeSantis is a great governor. I think DeSantis would make a great president. I really do. It just doesn't mean in this moment he could get the gig. And that's the same issue Nikki Haley has. In this moment, she's better than she gets credit for on Twitter. She's not a rhino or a liberal, the neocon. All the buzzwords you hear that make you feel better about yourself on Twitter are garbage. That's why Twitter is not representative of the real world. According to Twitter, Republicans were going to have a red wave in the midterms. Okay, the Republicans underachieved on a historic level. But if you were on Twitter, where it was just an absolute certainty because Republicans are crushing the field, you know, you were kind of misled and made a prisoner of the moment because the collective psychology of Twitter said the Republicans were going to do really well. But what Twitter, okay, was out of touch with was the priorities of voters. Just the same as Trump pulled an upset in 2016 because he was prioritizing jobs and border security, and the media didn't care. The media was like, but what about his tweets? What about the bad things he said between commercials on Celebrity Apprentice? Surely that should determine what our next president should be. Of course it shouldn't, okay? The issues that affect people on the ground are the issues that determine the presidency. And in this instance, in this go-round, okay, those issues all favor Trump again. Okay, so when you look out at the contrast between Trump and Biden, Trump is uniquely positioned in a way that Haley can't be. Because even if she were to get the nomination over the course of the 8-month sell, she doesn't have the ability to pivot to, well, the last time I was in office, we gave these tax cuts out. Oh, we passed the Remain in Mexico policy. Trump can say that because he did that. So that's where he has his advantage. That being said, okay, if Trump is going to beat Joe Biden or whoever the Democratic nominee winds up being, they're going to need every single vote they can get their hands on. I mean, every single one.
Bingo.
And why do I bring that up? Because he's going to need those Haley supporters. He's going to need those moderates, those people that are getting trashed as all the Haley supporters are closet liberals, all the never Trumpers. Well, here's a newsflash. You can't win back the White House without some of them. So I think it would benefit Trump to strike a more conciliatory tone. Here he is, asked this morning. Losing track of my days. And I'm over here making fun of Joe Biden. Look at me. I don't even know what day it is.
Have you ever had a checkup?
Here he is this morning on Fox and Friends, clip 3.
Will there be any effort on your side to reach across and say, okay, just like Ted Cruz, just like Marco Rubio, let's make amends and fight on one side? Would you call her, reach out to her?
Look, she said she'd never run against me, and she did. She said she beat Ron DeSantis in the in Iowa, and she didn't. She ran up and she did. She misrepresents a lot of facts. She's not doing nearly well against. She's not doing very well against Biden. She shows these polls that nobody ever heard of. It's you got to tell the facts. You got to tell the truth. The answer is I want everybody to come together. We're going to have a unified party because our real opponent happens to be named Biden.
There you go. And it's that part is true. His real opponent is Joe Biden.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
But he is. I know he forgets, but he is. Okay, that being said, to beat Joe Biden and the media machine that's going to turn out for Joe Biden, okay, the get-out-the-vote operation that's going to come from Silicon Valley and the Facebooks, Metas of the world, okay, it's going to be vast. It's going to be significant. This is going to be a close election. Okay, in individual state-by-state basis, okay, you're going to see the White House determined by under 10,000 votes in a handful of states. That's the way it happened last time. That's why the Hunter Biden laptop story was so egregious. Okay, they censored our ability to talk about a story that showed 20% of Biden voters claim they would have changed their vote if they had known the depths of which he was involved in his son's business dealings. Now, in an election that was decided by less than 50,000 votes, 20% of Biden's support would constitute millions of support, you know, votes. Joe Biden is the highest vote getter in the history of the country.
Don't be thick, all right?
But that's the truth, okay? Joe Biden, according to the math, okay, got more black support than even Barack Obama did.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant mother like you.
No, that's not my claim. That's the fact that we're supposed to believe. Okay, and for the purposes of this conversation, we'll just believe it. But understand that they interfered with the last election by pulling a little jiggery-pokery, if you will, with the laptop story, wiggling it around, not letting you share it, we're not going to put it on TV. We had 51 former intelligence officials sign a letter saying that it was Russian disinformation, even though every single one of them knew it had been vetted by the FBI 2 years earlier.
That's just how white folks will do you.
And that's how white folks will do you again. So understand, is Trump going to win big tonight? Yes. Okay. But does that mean the media is not going to try everything to stop him between now and Election Day?
The answer would be no.
The answer would be no. So if he is going to get over the finish line, he's going to need every single vote he can get from Nikki Haley. So that's the move tonight. Win your 15 states, Okay, 14 out of 50. If somehow there's a shock in one of them, and just welcome these people into the fold. Okay, for real. And if Nikki Haley still needs a lane, you can point her towards the highway. That's as good as it's going to get.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
The critics have spoken.
I really appreciate fine art.
You do?
Yes.
And this isn't it.
Ho, 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 ho.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Guys, are you the same guy that you were 10 years ago? Everybody's been there. You wake up one morning, you feel like you're getting old, man. Stuff hurts. What do I do? One idea is to use the powerful testosterone booster in Nugenix Total T because it will revive your energy. It'll power up the workouts, might even put the old fire back in the bedroom. Hey, girl, your old self is back. You'll feel amazing on this stuff. So tap the brakes on the aging process because every day that passes is a day you lose testosterone. That means less muscle, means less energy, and it does mean less get up and go in the bedroom. And are you really ready to lose all of it? The shape, the muscle, the energy. Are you ready to get old? Okay, you don't have to. You can slow it down with Nugenix Total T. It boosts free and total testosterone. It helps you get the old fire back at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom. Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Tesner. It'll help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life and prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There is nothing to lose. Get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you lose fat and get lean fast. It is absolutely free. Your complimentary bottle awaits. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Jimmy. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla doing the damn thing on Super Tuesday. Why? Because it's here. You got to play the teams on the schedule. We'll play them with Jim Jordan and Dana Perino. I played this for you yesterday, and I wanted you to hear it one more time. Here's Nikki Haley, and it certainly sounds like she's waffling on her pledge to support the Republican nominee, which is only significant because I can't think of another reason for her to stay in the race this long unless she's going to go third party. Now, she has claimed that she wouldn't do that, but she had also claimed that she would endorse the Republican nominee, and here she is kind of going back on that claim. Clip five.
You did sign a pledge, an RNC pledge, yeah, to support the eventual nominee. Do you still feel bound by that pledge?
I have always said that I have serious concerns about Donald Trump. I have even more concerns about Joe Biden.
So is that a no? Are you bound by the RNC pledge?
The RNC pledge, I mean, at the time of the debate, we had to take it to where would you support the nominee? And you had to, in order to get on that debate stage, you said yes. The RNC is now not the same RNC. Now it's
so you're no Trump's longer bound by that pledge.
No, I think I'll make what decision I want to make, but that's not something I'm thinking about.
This is politics as usual.
That's, you know, Trump calls her Tricky Nikki sometimes. That's a little Tricky Nikki. That's a little Tricky Nikki. I'm not going to lie.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
That's a good question. The reason I still believe she might want to go third party is because there'd be no other reason to stay in the race this long. Like, what are you staying in for? It's not like you're building goodwill with Republican voters for 2028. So in my brain, there's two reasons. There's two reasons she could still be in the race. One is she wants to go third party. The other is Trump has already made a deal with her to be his vice president. I nothing would shock me when it comes to Trump, because if you understand, everyone Trump annihilated and trashed on the 2016 campaign wound up working with him. Ted Cruz, he called him Lying Ted. Literally said his wife was a dog before the primaries. Marco Rubio, little Marco. Lindsey Graham, he gave out Lindsey Graham's cell phone number. Lindsey Graham was running for president. He annihilated Chris Christie and still made him the head of his transition team.
There's a slob. There's a real slob.
So the point is, as much as you hear him bashing her, it doesn't mean he won't go, she's tough as hell, she kept on fighting even when it was over, and she'd make a good VP. I don't have an answer. I don't know what her plan is. We'll talk about it next.
Introducing Plenty of Migrants, the dating app that's been crossing borders ever since Joe Biden opened them.
I don't remember that ever happening.
Let's face it, other dating apps are filled with broke losers, but Plenty of Migrants will match you with millions of singles who get paid good money for sneaking into the country.
They're going to be getting checks in the mail that are consequential.
Anybody can steal your heart, but Plenty of Migrants will steal your purse too.
It's a complicated relationship.
And best of all, if you can't find someone in your preferred gender, liberals will pay for a free sex change.
I think we should have that conversation.
Plenty of Migrants, a dating app that gets the job done.
A three-letter word, jobs. J-O-B-S, jobs.
There it is, Fox Across America. Yeah, no excuse. If you're single right now, Biden has let 8 million potential suitors cross the border.
But buenos dias.
They're all here. Plenty of migrants. Go date. Go have some fun. I bring up the border. Why? Because it's an issue that's affecting every single American. And the reason that matters, the reason that's worth speaking to, is people in the media are still shocked that Trump, despite all of his legal troubles, has such a lead over Biden. But what people in the media don't understand, this was the lesson from 2016, is the things they prioritize don't affect anyone's quality of life. Meaning if Trump overestimated the worth of the value of one of his real estate buildings, that doesn't affect whether somebody's safe to go to the store and can afford goods when they get there. Okay? If Trump held on to classified documents, not as long as Biden did, but he's deemed mentally fit to stand trial, which Biden was not. Okay, they still don't really care what he did with classified documents. They care what he did with the border. They care what he did with tax cuts. They care what he did with the economy. They care what he did with foreign policy. So there's this apoplectic thing going on where everyone's going, I can't believe the guy's doing it. I can't. Well, how is he winning? What's going on? Here's Harry Enten. Harry Enten seems like a talented enough chap. I met him briefly last year at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. He's, of course, the data guy at CNN.
CNN is the worst.
Whatever. I'm sure Harry's fine. Here he is talking about the fact that Trump is leading despite all these charges. Clip 9.
Now, I like to dig a little bit deeper into the polling data, and this, to me, sort of says it all. Has Trump committed serious federal crimes? A majority of likely voters say, yes, he did, yet he's still ahead. How is that possible? Because look at 2024 Trump supporters. It turns out 18% of them say that Trump has actually committed serious federal crimes, and yet they're still voting for him.
It really
when
is.
Numbers like this, I just wonder, what the heck are you going to do?
It is stunning.
I mean, dude.
Are you stupid or something?
Okay, here's the deal, Harry. Big H. The H man. Whatever he goes by, you know. I'll give you deluxe when I meet him next time. Next time I see him at one of these big media events. The way these big media events work, by the way, just so you guys know, I tell you everything. Because it's like, it's not normal that one of us is inside these tents. I am so much more one of you than I am one of these people. Oh, gosh. Oh, man. Everyone always asks me that. They're like, how has your life changed? Now you get your own big TV show. It's the same. I go home, hang out with Jenny. We do the same things we used to do because that's who we are. Okay, we're not wired. We don't have another setting. You dig? But I will tell you, it's fascinating to be in these events because these media people are so outwardly friendly when the cameras are off and then the cameras come on and they act like they don't even know who you are. It's just, you know,
somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
They hate you, but it's funny. Anyway, Harry Enten, to his credit, I only met him at the Correspondents' Dinner briefly. Hey, what's up, man? How you doing? His apoplexy, and I might have made that word up. I went to community college. Okay, if you came here looking for high intellect, the joke's on you, man. I'm not the bad guy. But his shock, his surprise, okay, to the idea that Trump could still be in the lead with people who believe he may have committed a crime. Okay, understand these crimes don't involve anything that affects anyone's way of life. And the bigger issue here is that nobody has faith in our justice system anymore because they have not seen equal application of justice under the law. You know, justice is not blind, okay, in this current Merrick Garland world that we live in, where parents who speak up at school boards are labeled domestic terrorists, but people who kill people and shoot people are let out of jail with no bail. You know, you look at New York City. Nobody goes to jail because of woke bail reforms.
Everything woke turns to
So there's two things in play here. One, it's that Trump's legal problems don't affect anybody's quality of life. Trump is not being charged with anything that would affect his ability to secure the border, which is what people want. Trump is not being charged with anything that would prevent him from getting us out of a potential World War III in the Middle East, which is what people want. Okay, he's certainly not charged with anything, okay, that would stop him from slashing regulations at the record pace he did last time. Nor, I mean, if you were talking about minority voters, is he charged with anything that would stop him from the Trump tax cuts, which made single low-income black families the single biggest wealth accelerators in our economy. Okay, Trump was consequentially better for the black community than any president in the last 50 years. Okay, you'd have to just slightly predate the Civil Rights Act. Okay, you get to that point. Yes, that was better for the black community. Of course it was. But the Great Society and all the incentives that encouraged the destruction of the nuclear community and family wasn't good for any community. Black, white, Asian, you know, gay, straight, doesn't matter. Whatever you were. Okay, if there's an incentive to have kids and break up because you get more money from the government, that leads to less nuclear stability in the family. And here's a newsflash for you. For all the talk you hear about white privilege, check your privilege. Okay, first of all, if you live in this country, you have American privilege. You have hit the lottery by virtue of the fact you are born here.
Freedom!
Okay, a lot of people don't have it. Okay, you take it for granted because you've never lived without it before. You understand? Okay, but there's a second layer to American privilege. Not everybody does have it, and it's called family privilege. If you have a good family, you were raised by decent people who have taught you empathy and consideration for others. They've modeled a stellar work ethic and instilled a sense of personal responsibility to hold yourself accountable for your successes and your failures. Okay, if you come from that, you won. Okay, whether you did it with two parents or 10 parents or one parent, okay, or no parent, you were raised by an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent, some type of a guardian. If you had family privilege, you were raised by someone good, two people are good, doesn't whatever it was, okay, you win. You know, Tim Scott's a guy who had family privilege, okay? When you think back to Tim Scott, the South Carolina senator, he famously was interviewing our labor secretary and, you know, ran into the reality that she said children who were born to single black mothers at the lowest end of the socioeconomic scale should be aborted. That's what she told Tim Scott, at which point he was like, well, I'd just like to say for the record, I'm glad my mom let me live. And Tim Scott grew up to be what? The first black man elected to both houses of Congress. That history comes from the Republican Party. And it came from Tim Scott, who had a single mom, who, according to the Democrats, shouldn't be having babies, but did. And with the help of his mom and his grandma, he absolutely positively grew up poor, but is a guy that might very well be your next vice president of the United States, okay, because he had family privilege. The economics weren't there, okay, but the work ethic, okay, the support system was. And that matters. So when you talk about America, okay, and American privilege and family privilege and the fact that Joe Biden's policies are what's actually harming your way of life, whether you're in a city where the schools are failing and they won't actually hold the teachers union accountable because they're the biggest donors to the party, or you're in a city where the prosecutors aren't arresting bad guys because George Soros is the biggest donor to local elections. You know, if you're dealing with the record level of fentanyl poisoning young kids and killing them in this country, okay, these are the direct result of Joe Biden's policies. And you understand those policies affect you. What Trump goes to court for just doesn't affect you. Okay, Trump slept, and we knew this before the 2016 election, he slept with a porn star named Stormy Daniels.
Oh, yes. I've read about that in the Bible.
Okay, but how he paid her off before the 2016 election has nothing to do with anything in your life.
Correctamundo.
Just doesn't matter. Okay, inflation hit a 40-year high under Biden. What would you rather have? Low inflation and a president paying off porn stars, or high inflation and a president that doesn't even know what country he's in half the time?
We have a president that is clearly not all there.
I think we know the answer. So here's Abby Phillip on CNN. And at least to her credit, she's speaking to the fact that Biden is harming himself in these polls. Clip 8.
The polling, the same polling that has Joe Biden losing to Donald Trump. Here's what it says about Donald Trump's voters. 97% of the people who voted for him in 2020 say they would vote for him again this year.
I think it's now, because a lot of
But hold on. There's more. 83% who voted for Joe Biden in 2020 say they would vote for him again. Mm-hmm. The person who is eroding support is actually Joe Biden, according to this.
Yes. Come on, man.
Nope. Joe Biden eroding support. Think about that. We live in such a hyper-partisan time now where Republicans just want to be Democrats, Democrats just want to be Republicans. That's a thing that people do everything they can, known to man, to not find fault in their party. Everyone does it because politics are a team sport now, and it's sad. I'm trying to be an outlier and reminding you Democrats are your teammates, Republicans are your teammates. We're all American citizens. As the country goes, we go. When push comes to shove, one of us is the offense, one of us is the defense. Okay, seeing as defense wins championships, that's the old adage in sports. I prefer the Republicans to be the defense, if only because they're playing defense at the southern border, whereas the Democratic border policy has turned it into a college bar that doesn't check ID, so everybody shows up and is welcome. But understand that, okay, when you realize how much Democrats hate Republicans, that's what they're running on. They're actually running on, like, Trump's a bad man. He's going to ban democracy. He's going to ban minorities. Women are going to have, like, Sharia law. Okay, that's what they're running on. They're telling you democracy is on the ballot a day after they tried to remove their opponent from the ballot.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Okay, that's the campaign. But understand this. Okay, in a hyper-partisan time where Democrats hate Republicans with all the fiber in their being, when 83% of Democrats say they can't vote Biden again, they are at least to some extent admitting fault with their vote. Now, the percentage of people that are willing to admit that to another people, another person, is not high. So I would go out on a limb and say it's probably like 60% of the Democrats who voted for Biden would vote for him again. I don't believe most of them would. Because for Biden to become the next president, just based on actuary tables alone, there is better than a 50% chance that Kamala Harris would become president in the second term.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No! No!
You just don't want to live in that world. So I don't doubt that Biden's percentage is even lower. So there are people out there that say the media, you know, has gotten the memo and Biden's not coming off the ticket. But when you see people like Abby Phillip at least acknowledging some semblance of reality, it gives me hope for the country that Biden might come off the ticket. Because a robust political debate would actually help this country a great deal. And I'd be fine with Trump running against a formidable 50-year-old Democrat. I'd love him to run against Gavin Newsom. And to be honest with you, it wouldn't be an easy matchup because as disgusting as, you know, parts of California are, most people in this country aren't paying attention to California because their own city's going to hell. So when you think about that, a potential Democrat showing up with a lot less baggage might turn this into a substantive, you know, debate. It might turn this into an election where we focus on issues instead of just convincing your voters the other guy's Hitler. Okay, as of right now, that's going to be the dance card between now and September. We are 8 months away. It's like 8 months this week, okay, from the election. And understand they're already saying things like Trump's going to end democracy. Do you know what straw man stupidity that is? And who better to distill it than Hillary Clinton? Listen to this clip, clip 6.
This is not someone who we want to give power to again. So I think That's what this election's really going to be about. And, you know, somebody the other day said to me, Zerlina, well, but, you know, Joe Biden's old. I said, you know what? Joe Biden is old. Let's go ahead and accept the reality. Joe Biden is old. So we have a contest between one candidate who's old, but who's done an effective job and doesn't threaten our democracy. And we have another candidate who is old, barely makes sense when he talks, is dangerous, and threatens our democracy.
You are so full of sh**.
So she says Trump barely makes sense when he talks. That's the claim here.
Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night. The phone.
Trump doesn't make sense when he talks. That's what we're down to now. I know you are, but what am I? And that's why she was the terrible candidate that she was. And I find that to be just so hilarious that they're just trying to do one of these now. I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever you bounce off me sticks to you. That's what we're down to now. Hillary Clinton trying to tell you Trump is a mental case, and Biden, he's a guy that can lead an effective strategy to mobilize. I don't even know what the word is. I'll let him tell you.
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true and international effort to pressure.
You're hanging out with Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Super Tuesday is upon us. Kevin says he found a state that Nikki Haley might actually win. Maybe even a commonwealth, if you will. Kevin!
Jimmy, well, you know, I don't want to go as so far, but there is some kind of percolating down here in Virginia. Former Governor, U.S. Senator George Allen appeared in person in our local former Rush Limbaugh radio station, and he was pushing for Haley, and I guess there's this Roanoke College poll out that says Trump is only, back in the day this would be a big lead, but not right now, he's only beating Haley by 8%.
Ooh.
According to Roanoke College. Now, they've been way off before. And interestingly, I went to realclearpolitics.com, and they actually ran two concurrent polls. And the other poll, that was likely voters, they say 8%. The other poll says a poll of adults, I don't know, as opposed to children. It says Trump's going to win by 60. So I'm a little confused by that. But I think there's something up. You know, so yeah, I know something up going on down here, but I want to make an analogy. MMA fighting.
Yep.
MMA, mixed martial arts. The guy, one guy's got the other guy all wrapped up, and he's just about to break that guy's arm, and then the guy taps out, right?
Yep.
And the referee calls the match.
Yeah.
Well, Nick, we got Nikki Haley all wrapped up, but she doesn't want to tap out. So I say Trump's got to keep the pedal to the metal until he's got enough delegates to have conclusively beaten her, and we just can't give her any room until she concedes.
Yeah, you can't spike the ball at the one. It'll go another week. Hopefully he's nice about it tonight because you do need their votes. But he's going to win. I mean, there's no version of this that doesn't end with him winning. So that's the good news if you are a Trump guy. Kevin, good analysis as always. We always like a Miss Martial Arts reference on this show. Jim Jordan, he's a former superstar wrestler in college. And Dana Perino, she'll tangle anybody on the mat. She's going to join us as well. Big hour coming up when we come back on Fox Across America.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it is. And we are fired up for a big hour. It's a Super Tuesday edition of Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Dana Perino, co-host of America's Newsroom, the belle of the cable news ball. She is going to be joining us in the next hour. Now, in this hour, we do normally have our guests on halfway through the hour. But this next guest's press team probably needed to get a bet in at the sports book on tonight's NBA action. So joining us from the 4th Congressional District of Congress, batting leadoff, Jim Jordan, back on the show, my man.
Jimmy, good to be with you. How are you doing?
I'm good. I just assumed we were hitting a little earlier because Russell's getting to the window at the racetrack or something.
That's probably true. Probably true. No, I just stepped out of a a deposition, and I don't know when I got something at 1:30. So
you got all kinds
we always got time for your great radio show, the strongest radio show in the history of the world.
We're getting it done.
Yeah. So and things are good, going well with your TV show too. Great. So that's all good to hear.
We're number one in the ratings. I'm like a mogul
awesome.
Now. I know. I got to get my life together though, because I get recognized in public a lot. And, you know, I'm a little bit of a mess, though. It's not always, I'm not always getting recognized doing good things, you know. When you're getting thrown out of an airport Chili's,
I know this guy. How many times, 9 out of 10 are positive, right? People walk up to you, hey, keep up the good work. But
yes.
There's always someone who's going to yell at you because, you know, they're liberal and they're lefty and they're, like, mean. So, I mean, we get the same thing, and it's 9 out of 10. Mm-hmm. I had this guy, he came up to Polly and I, we're getting coffee about 3 weeks ago in this little coffee shop we're down in Florida, and I'm in a big line. I'm walking up and I get up there and he says Jim Jordan, you know, and I kind of look at him because I'm trying to evaluate if he's going to be the 1%, the 10% or the 90%, and I could tell pretty quick he was in the 90%. He was going to say, and then he said again, Jim Jordan. He goes, you keep fighting, we need Trump. And then he went on to tell me like he came from a communist country and we don't need it here. And I thought, you know, that's amazing that here's a new American, mm-hmm. came here legally, working his tail off in a coffee shop.
Yep.
And makes that sort of fundamental point of you know, I left it. I don't want it here. Keep fighting. And so I just thought it was interesting because, you know, like you say, you get these people coming up to you all the time.
Yep. No, and it's a good point is that I will tell you this, in my former taxi garage, where literally everybody in my taxi garage migrated here but me. Like, mm-hmm. I was known. I'm not even joking. Like, I didn't have a name. They called me the white guy because I was the white guy. I was the only guy. And that's a funny thing. So we tried to do a package for Fox where we went down there, and my field producer was interviewing people like, what do you think about Jimmy Fallon getting his own TV show? And guys I spent 8 years of my life with were like, who's Jimmy Fallon? We've never heard of him. And I was like, ask them what they think of the white guy and show them a picture. And they thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And that's how they knew me. But the point is, in my garage, when you talk about people who migrated to this country legally, Trump probably carries 99% of them because they see the country resembling something that they fled.
Yep. Yeah. That's
big reality.
That should tell us something. That should tell us something. And I think it does. And it's again, why the intensity of support for President Trump is literally off the charts.
Wait,
I've never seen it in politics.
So are you telling me with a straight face that Nikki Haley's not going to win this thing?
Yeah. And her, there is no intensity behind the support for her. Any support for her, I think, is largely, the handful of people who have this Trump derangement syndrome and are against President Trump. The people for Trump are voting for him. Yeah. That's for darn sure.
Oh, yeah.
Because he did what he said he was going to do, and he got things done, and we had an economy that was roaring along, and we were respected around the world, and there was strength projected from the Oval Office, and you could just go on and on versus what we have today.
Yeah, well, what's funny about Haley is she says she still has a lane. I'm like, where? On the highway? Where is this lane? but I get it.
What was it? I remember back in '16 when Rubio gets out of the race, there were like three people still in. I think Kasich and I forget who else and President
Ted,
Trump.
Ted Cruz or somebody.
Oh, Ted Cruz, sure. Senator Cruz was in, mm-hmm. and so I remember thinking like Kasich was staying in for whatever reason, but he was actually at the time in. He was in fourth place in a three-person race. And you're just like, what are you doing? Same thing with Haley. Like, I don't know why she's still in.
Yeah, Haley, I don't know what the play is there. But I guess it's not important, you know, one way or the other, because whatever the play is, he's going to be the nominee. And when you look at the contrast between him and Biden and the world we're living in, you know, I'm not even saying this as a conservative. I'm saying this as an American. We're in a real volatile world right now, and you need to project strength more than ever. And I just don't know that they see strength when Biden takes the small steps onto the plane.
No, they didn't see strength when he was shuffling along the border. They don't. I mean, it's sad because you don't wish that on anyone. You certainly don't wish it on the president of the United States, or, you know, greatest country ever, the most powerful country ever. And this is now the individual and the capabilities that he has as our president. It's scary. But you're exactly right. But maybe my simple way of looking at things. But I always view foreign policy as like the wrestling room. And the simple fact is, in the wrestling room, if you're a sissy, if you're wimpy, if you're not strong, you're just not going to make it. You're just not going to survive. Mm-hmm. And it's same in the football field. You can pick any season. Same on the hockey rink. And right now we have Joe Biden, who talks a big game but projects weakness, you know, all over the place. It just is not going to fly in foreign policy, unlike President Trump, who I think projected strength but actually was willing to go talk with the, you know, with the bad guys, with the serious people, you know, seriously bad people around the world. Different, a whole different perspective.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, you got Kim Jong-un to behave. That little chubby little fella in his dumpy suit shooting off rockets, he kind of reeled it in a little bit. But I agree. And I think what you're going to watch between now and Election Day is the Democrats are going to focus on a lot of things that don't affect anybody's quality of life, you know, and that's why they were caught so by surprise in 2016. They were worried about tweets, but working class voters were worried about jobs. They were worried about border security. So I think when it comes to the issues that matter, I think Trump is positioned really well. And I wanted to bring that up only for a quick word on the border. So is it your opinion when Biden is pushing around, you know, border legislation? Because the expectation at the State of the Union this week is he's going to try to blame Republican Congress for the lack of border security. Do you think anyone in their right mind is buying that, knowing he created this mess through executive order?
No one's buying it, but they're still going to try to sell it. I mean, that's just how the left operates. So the Democrats are going to continue to say, oh, if the Republicans will help us. But it's like everyone knows on day one what he did when he rescinded the three kind of executive orders and policies that President Trump had in place and what that's led to. And just the seriousness, the magnitude of this problem is like we're on pace to get to 12 million. Yeah. I told a group the other day that's I was back in Ohio campaign yesterday with our Senate candidate, Bernie Marino. And I said, you know, 12 million, that's the entire population of Ohio. We're the seventh largest state. That's how serious this problem is. So I don't think that flies. I assume he'll try something like that Thursday night. But again, if you remember the last State of the Union, we've talked about this before. The highlight of the evening was actually the response from Sarah Huckabee Sanders when she said the divide in America today is normal versus crazy. And then she talked about all the crazy things the left does and the left that, you know, now controls the Democrat Party. So again, I think that will come through in spite of what he may say and what the Democrats may say afterwards.
Well, we're talking to Jim Jordan. I think if we're going to be clear, because her speech was great, but I think the big headline out of the State of the Union was that Biden stayed awake past 9 p.m. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and I think everyone's just kind of like, some people, who was I talking with the other day, said, I'm not going to watch. It was the radio guy, Bob France in Ohio. Yeah. And he says, I don't think I'm watching because I'm not on Friday and I don't have to come, you know, do it and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and I get on and I go, Bob, you know you're going to watch it because you just got to know. You got to know. Is he going to be able to do it? Is he going to be able to get through it? You know, so this, people are going to watch it for that reason, maybe that for that reason alone.
This isn't normal. It's not normal to be. You're watching presidential speeches like they're NASCAR races now. You're showing up for the crash. You're like, we're gonna have a caution flag on lap 12. It's not
but
normal.
You know, we laugh a little bit, but it's also sad. You know, everyone has been to a rotary speech or the Kiwanis speech where the guest speaker that day is terrible, and everyone kind of puts their head down, they fiddle with their phone or they doodle on their, you know, the weekly program that they had, you know, the little pictures. And it's like it's difficult, it's uncomfortable, and the fact that we have to be in that same situation with the commander in chief of the greatest country ever is not how it's supposed to be in America. And it's
not good.
You know, but it is what it is, I guess.
It is. Last question. You can be on your way. I'm told, I know you're not following them day to day because you're busy in Congress, but I'm told your Reds look promising. Bill Hemmer here at Fox tells me it's the year of the Reds.
The red machine, the big red machine may be coming back.
Do you find time in that schedule of yours to make it down the Great America Ballpark this year?
I've been there, I think, twice and 15 years, maybe only once. We haven't.
Well,
we travel a lot. So I think the last 6 weeks, Polly and I've been home like 6 days.
I would invite you to a Yankee game, but I got to be upfront about the fact that the food prices are a little high. I couldn't get a hot dog last game because I couldn't get a co-signer. But
what is a beer and a broad or a beer and a dog? Yeah. What is it now in a game?
Full, you'd go over $30 for that at Yankee Stadium. You'd probably go $16 to $18 on a normal sized domestic beer. Your hot dog's probably $10 or $12 is my guess. Like they're not giving it away, man.
So to take your family to the ballpark in the Biden inflationary world. And get all, you know, you got three kids and you know, you go, it's like you're probably in the tickets. It's probably what, $350?
Oh, way more, way more. Okay, you're parking. Yeah, you're parking for $50. You could get, you could sit on the moon in Yankee Stadium probably for $40. So let's assume you got in for $160. You paid $50 to park. You're at $210. No one has eaten anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
If everybody gets a dog and a soda, figure $30 a person. So you're at another, yeah, probably $330. Now, heaven forbid someone wants a jersey. Now you're looking at 5-year financing.
Well, you got to get one of those little miniature baseball bats. Every kid had to have one.
I got to have the bat.
You play a little, you play the little, you know, kind of half wiffle ball. Instead of using the plastic bat, you use the wooden bat. Like we all did that when we were
kids. Of course. I have one. I have one in my office here at Fox that my brother used to hit me in the shins with as a child.
And then when you get mad, the boys start fighting. You know,
we all got hit by that little bat. We've all been there. That shot in the shins from that little bat kills you,
So you're younger than me, Jimmy, but like literally I feel like I felt so fortunate. I was like raised like Sandlot. That's how like I was a little bit after that, you know, I was in the '70s, but it's like your buddies, you played kickball, you played wiffle ball, you got in fights, and the teachers like sort of let you like scrap around, then they'd yell at you. It's just like it was a whole different world. And it's like today, tough. God, I don't know.
It's a tougher world. I said this yesterday. We're trending in the wrong direction. I said, we're, you know, 20 years from now, we're going to have a military that's like, oh my gosh, ISIS called me an infidel. I'm not fighting today. It's very insensitive. I know.
Let's hope not.
Keep them tough. Let's pass out some mini bats for the Reds fans so they can go beat each other up and get tough. Good stuff, man.
All right. Take care.
Appreciate you, brother. Well, the great Jim Jordan, there he goes. And, man, if you didn't grow up with mini bats in your house, you're a lucky man. My brother Mike used to hit me in the shins with those mini bat retail, just whack you right in the shin.
That's just how white folks will do you.
They hurt. And I actually have that bat. I took it from my mom's house, and it's in my office here at Fox. I just wanted to remove the weapon from the premises so I don't get strafed in the thigh when I go over there one of these days. But yes, if you didn't grow up around those bats, good and bad, okay? They were a nice rite of passage, but they did come back to haunt you from time to time. But it would be good if America had one of those bats. You know, the whole speak softly, carry a big stick? I mean, any stick would be good at this point, because we've got a president that they're carrying him instead. It is not pretty.
You're listening to the most addictive show on the radio.
This is crack, rock cocaine. It isn't glamorous or cool or kid stuff.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America. Your main man, Jimmy Failla. We're going to be talking to Dana Perino in the next hour. But some you and me time in the meanwhile. And I'm going to talk about the border for a second. I never shut up about the border. So in the next block, we're going to go border. And the reason I don't shut up, like people make fun of me here. One of our producers, Matt Dahl, who we love a great deal. He works on the video side of things, kind of a muscle man behind the operation here in Fox News Radio, will always laugh because whenever he's helped out with the show, I'll be like, oh, I'm doing the border today. And I joke like it's new and we kind of like feign like, oh, my God, the border. Wow, that's different. And why do I always talk about the border? It's like become like almost a signature issue for me because, number one, it affects all Americans. But number two, if you have a kid. Okay, the border is so frickin' primal. Okay, there was a report last night that China is now buying up weed farms. China, that smuggles the fentanyl into our country, is now producing a good percentage of the weed that's coming into the country. You know what that means? That means some of the weed, some of the street weed that's coming into the country is going to wind up inadvertently having fentanyl in it.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Not good. I'm telling you, if you're a parent, I know these are hard conversations. Do what you can to keep your kids off drugs. Okay, I know this is difficult. I know addiction is a beast. Okay, but do what you can because we're not in the era we grew up in. We grew up in I grew up in an era where like the teachers were smoking weed. It was really like, I'm not kidding. The amount of drinking that was done in my high school when I was a young kid, 9th grade, 10th grade, and I don't doubt there are millions of people listening right now who saw the same things happen. Okay, luckily, or, you know, a lot of us turned out okay. But we're not living in that era now. People with our habits of consumption die now. They die instantaneously in a lot of instances. So I bring it up. Okay, but the one thing that does lighten the mood for me is watching people on the left try to sell us on the idea that Trump's mental issues are the same as Biden's. That's what they're going with now. They're going with, I know you are, but what am I? Here is Mika and Joe on Morning Joe. God, they hate each other, but it's so funny to watch because you could see the disdain and they just need to take it out, project it onto somebody. But here they are talking about Trump, who did, to be clear, mix up Obama and Biden. He often conflates the two and claims that Obama is running the White House. Now, again, I'd call it out if Biden said it, so you call it out if Trump says it. Here is Trump doing so, clip 12.
Putin, you know, has so little respect for Obama that he's starting to throw around the nuclear word today. You heard that, nuclear. He's starting to talk nuclear weapons today. I was waiting for that to happen. But we have a fool as a president. He said, we will never leave until there is complete and total victory. We might be there for a long time.
Oh, man. But anyway, here's Mika and Joe reacting to that because they're concerned if someone does this. You know, as long as the someone doesn't have a D next to their name. Clip 14.
No, it's interesting. You turn away when he starts to blank out. What does it upset you?
It feels very unhealthy. I'm going to just be very careful. It doesn't look good.
It doesn't.
It scares me.
Can we play it one more time? I want to see what Mika is. I'm worried, actually, physically. He does not look good.
They're talking about Trump, by the way.
See what?
Yeah, I don't know. See that right there?
I don't like it.
Stop. That upsets
you. Something's wrong. I can't look at that.
It makes him feel nervous for him, right? Let's play one more time.
No, I don't want to see that.
I want to see what's upsetting you one more time, really quickly.
Oh, come on. What's going on?
I don't know.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
The performance art of that piece, that's them watching Trump and saying, I can't watch it. It's so uncomfortable. The man's not well. Guys, Biden shakes hands with invisible people. We've seen him talk to dead people on more than five occasions. Okay, he gets lost leaving speeches. He sometimes leaves presidential events at the podium early. Okay, I'm not saying one guy's behavior absolves the other, but this idea, this performative concern for Donald Trump, okay, is nothing more than an effort to project Biden's liabilities onto his opponent. Like we are, despite all the money and the entire the media trying to save this campaign, they've been reduced to, I know you are, but what am I? There it is, Fox Across America. Jimmy Failit, reachable to you, the listener, at 888-788-9910. Dana Perino joining us in the next hour. I got to get my life together. You know, she's Dana Perino. She matters. And like I'm hanging out with one of my dirtbag drinking buddies on the show. People that are literally here to work off a bar tab. Dana is, pound for pound, if you were to break it down in media, Dana Hammer, you know, the Brett Bears of the world. These are the most respected names. Martha McCallum, Shannon Bream. Like, we literally, in all of media, if you were to say who are the top five most respected broadcasters in media right now, the five, any way you slice it, those five broadcasters are all going to be Fox News talent.
That's true. That is true.
And I'm not, you know, being arrogant. I mean, I'm not saying that for any other reason than that's just reality. Okay, Jake Tapper, do you remember him? He used to be a... Jake Tapper was a man of great significance in Jersey.
Wrong.
I mean, I don't know anymore. I threw a bit of a wild pitch yesterday. I got a kick out of it. Here is Jake Tapper. I believe he's trying to say insurrection, but it kind of takes a wrong turn. Clip 45.
Right. The Colorado Supreme Court, of course, wasn't saying, however partisan people might have thought the decision was. Their official explanation was not they didn't like Donald Trump. They said he participated in an erection. And I have to, an insurrection. And I have to say, I got up at 5 this morning to do Casey Hunt's show, and I'm exhausted.
I love it when you talk dirty.
Jake Tapper says Donald Trump participated in an erection. Now, I got to be honest, he may have. I don't know that he hasn't. I mean, the guy's got multiple children. The odds are he has from time to time. But that is Jake Tapper throwing a little bit of a wild pitch on the air. Could happen to anybody. I say stupid things all the time. But when you look around at the other news networks, the reason they've lost status to the length that they have, don't ever forget, Fox News is an upstart. We've only been here since the late 90s. Okay, we started back in that era when the president didn't mind if you took a knee.
I believe that together we can make America great again.
Bill Clinton. And you hate when you're running low on humidors, so you've got to use the intern instead.
This is not okay.
But stick with me. Okay, the reason the media has ceded so much ground to Fox, we've been beating them in the ratings for a while. Okay, but now we're actually, like, we're killing them. Like, when I say we're killing them, like, my show, which is, I got to be honest with you, it's the newest show on the channel. So it's not even close to being in the top 20 in terms of prestige on this channel. I'm not saying that to be self-deprecating. I'm saying that because it's reality. It's a new program, Saturday night. Okay, but my show beats its two closest competitors, CNN and MSNBC, combined. Like, we beat them combined in the ratings. That's not competitive. Okay, but one of the reasons, nothing to do with me or my talent, I'm on a channel that has that type of relationship with America. Now, why do we have that relationship? This is very important. It's because from day to day, we are prioritizing stories that affect you. The other outlets have lost your trust because they're prioritizing stories that don't affect you, meaning they spent the 2016 election ignoring the border, ignoring the economy, okay, ignoring the weak recovery under Barack Obama, which, to be honest, was weak.
I don't see you doing any better in the booty department.
Okay, they didn't acknowledge the damage done by the Iranian nuclear deal. The Iranian nuclear deal, which gave $50 billion in cash assets to the biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world. That's what Barack Obama did.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
But again, okay, when Trump came down the escalator, he talked in a very unconventional manner, and the media just assumed that people weren't ready for a politician who talked like they did.
Wrong.
No. Lo and behold, they were all the way wrong. But they continued to cover Trump from a perspective nobody cared about. We didn't care if he insulted Rosie O'Donnell. Okay, was it unconventional? Yes. But you heard a message about securing the border, not getting ripped off by NATO allies, maybe bringing jobs back to this country. Okay, these are all good things. Boosting domestic energy production, because you know what domestic energy production does when you boost it? Makes us richer, makes the bad guys poorer. Putin couldn't invade Ukraine if we were a net exporter of energy right now. Couldn't have the money to do it. Okay, Iran, which sponsors Hamas and the Houthis and everybody in between. The Houthis get a lot of the money from Yemen, but that money is only there because when Trump left office, they had $5 billion in oil reserves. As of right now, they have $68 billion worth of oil reserves. So you understand how much richer they've gotten under a Biden presidency, meaning the people who want to harm us. Trump was unequivocally better for the country. He just was. If you're somebody who cared about, you know, your everyday way of life, meaning affording goods because inflation wasn't anywhere remotely close. It was 7 points lower under Trump. Gas is still a dollar cheaper than it is right now. Okay, forget the border. Okay, because we never had half a million people cross the border in a year, let alone 3 million a year, which is what we have now. When you talk about kids in cages, remember when AOC went down to the southern border and cried because of the kids in cages?
AOC is a dope.
The amount of kids in cages, the ones that were built under Barack Obama anyway, as part of that family separation policy that was enacted under George W. Bush and continued under Obama, those kids in those cages, which were built in 2014 under Obama, never forget when the Associated Press fact-checked the New York Times because they posted a picture of kids in cages going, oh, look at these kids in cages under Trump. And then, of course, if you remember, the Associated Press was like, actually, New York Times, they're from 2014. But never mind that all the people feigning outrage at the kids being detained at the border in 2014 have nothing to say about the fact that literally millions, millions, millions of more children have been detained and apprehended under Biden than were under Trump, yet you don't get a word out of Democrats who want you to believe they're the party that cares about people.
Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Well, no, they're peeing on your leg and telling you it's climate change that's causing that rain, Lincoln. But stick with me, okay? Because when it comes to Trump, when it comes to his appeal, when it comes to Fox News and our relationship with viewers, we're all having the same conversation. okay, no one is getting on the air, certainly not me, and telling you I'm a perfect person, telling you that I ever go a minute without flaw. Okay, I'm the most flawed person I know. You know, Trump throwing a lot of wild pitches. He absolutely does. But we all have the same values, meaning America is the greatest country the world has ever known. Okay, we have to fight to protect our freedoms at all costs because there are people abroad and here who don't respect and appreciate them at the level that you or I do. Okay, and we need as much government as possible out of our lives.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Okay, CNN, MSNBC, they are big government networks. They support liberals. They support the radical expansion of government, which means more regulation and much higher taxes.
Thanks, big government weenuses.
So you realize they're losing their relationship with America, not just because they have different priorities, but also, if we're going to be clear, they did spend 3 years saying Russia controlled the 2016 election.
It was made up by these sick people.
They then bookended that by saying Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation.
It was made up by these sick people.
They then told you the people who got vaccinated couldn't get and spread COVID.
It was made up by these sick people.
They also told you the border was closed.
It was made up by these sick people.
I could play this for hours, okay? But the point is, if you have somebody that doesn't share your values and they lie to you on the highest of levels, there's no way they're going to maintain a relationship with the public. That's why Fox wins. That's why we win. And the fact that we have a relationship with our viewers, we're all on the road every weekend. Okay, when you hear me, you know, promoting gigs, you know, I'm going to be in Fort Lauderdale Friday, Ponte Vedra Saturday. That's true. You could go to those gigs. You could see me in Helena, Montana, Friday night, March 29th. Spokane, Washington, Saturday, March 30th. You could go to those gigs. You'll meet the guy from TV. You'll meet the guy from the radio. He'll hang out with you. He'll talk to you. He'll treat you like a human being, sign your stuff. Do you know how many boobs I signed in Idaho Falls last week, by the way? Is actually a record for my tour.
Hubba, hubba.
I know nobody wants to hear this during this hour of the day. Well, actually, some of you do. But the total was 12 breasts in Idaho Falls. There were some very frisky women who insisted that I do the honor of signing their breasts. So if you listen closely, you can actually hear Jenny changing the locks in my house right now. But the point is, we attract a fun crowd, okay? And they're goofy. They, you know, and that's a lot of what we do here at Fox. We are real people talking to real people. So when it comes to the border, it doesn't get any more primal than that, okay? Because the border is killing people's sons and daughters, aunts and uncles, cousins, husbands, wives, children, everything in between, okay? Because we have fentanyl poisoning us. That's what's going on right now. So when you start to talk about the border and the fact that mainstream networks are so apoplectic that Trump could have the hold that he does on voters despite January 6th. Oh, my gosh. January 6th.
You don't have a clue.
January 6th was bad. I was covering it in real time. But January 6th does not affect anybody's ability to pay rent this month. Doesn't affect anybody's ability to not overdose if they take recreational drugs. Doesn't affect the fact that the core price index is still up 23% under this president.
Biden is such a disaster.
Okay, I saw something today. I covered it with Stuart Varney. Okay, I was on Stuart Varney this morning, and he had relayed a quote to me he wanted me to respond to by Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban owns the Dallas Mavericks, and I'm saying this with respect because Mark Cuban listens to our show from time to time. He has messaged or at least acknowledged on Twitter that he listens to the show. He once sent me a message in a back and forth, said, by the way, he disagreed with one of my points, but he said, I've listened to your show and I enjoyed it, which is nice. Nice of him to say. And it's an honor. It's one of the Shark Tank guys, you know. But the point is, Mark Cuban said he would vote for Biden over Trump, even if they were giving Biden his last rights in that moment.
Are you stupid or something?
He's not stupid. He's a very smart man. He's made billions of dollars for himself. He's owned an NBA team before he sold it and maintained a management position in the company, which is brilliant. You don't get the bills, but you get the say. Not bad. Okay, but understand, when you say something like, oh, I'd vote for Biden if he was dying over Trump, if blah, 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 you're voting on character. If you have the luxury to vote on character, it's because the policies these guys enact don't affect you. Mark Cuban can afford to vote for Joe Biden, precisely because he can afford to vote for Joe Biden.
You are correct, sir.
He has no idea. So many people in the media have no idea how much damage Biden has done. Guys, Trump didn't do economic damage. He tweeted things, but the core price index, the goods you have to survive, they were cheaper in some instances by 25% than they are under Biden. I, as a guy who drove a cab and knows what it's like to literally be the brokest person on the planet at the time his wife gives birth to a child, I know how adverse Biden policies are. I used to go to the gas pump with Jenny 2 years ago when we were seeing gas that was, I'm talking in New York, you're above $6 a gallon for gas.
No.
And we were writing all these song parodies on the radio. We were playing them for you and trying to make fun of the issue because I was just trying to give people an escape from that problem because I know how catastrophic that increase is on a regular person. Okay? And in that moment, I used to say to Jenny, like, my God, how hard I would have been suffering as a cab driver versus a guy who had his own radio show when gas hit those prices. But I can't forget what it's like to be that guy. Sadly, a lot of people like Mark Cuban either never were that guy or just don't have the relationship with him. Make no mistake about it. Mark Cuban, if you're listening, I bear you no ill will, and I know you frequently listen to the show, or at least from time to time. Okay, but you have a stratospheric divide between your quality of life and the everyday American's quality of life, one that has gotten precipitously worse under this country. You understand, when you see polls that tell you 75% of the country thinks we're in the wrong direction, 68% of the country thinks we're living in the wrong direction, that's not Republicans who just hate Democrats for sport. That's every single American that's getting their ass handed to them every time they go to the cash register. And one of the reasons Fox maintains the relationship we have with our viewers and we have the footprint that we do in media is everybody that works here comes from a regular walk of life, okay? None of us grew up super duper rich, okay? And we all relate to regular people because we've spent our whole entire lives being one. It's formidable. It's why my show does good. It's because I'm not what you'd expect in this slot. I'm just one of you, okay? You're probably richer than me. You're probably more educated than I am. But the point is, my limited intellect makes me a lot more accessible to people. And the fact that I'm painstakingly honest with you, I'm just giving you my opinions, might be right, might be wrong, you're always welcome to disagree, is potent. They don't have that at the other channels. If they did, they'd realize just how hard Biden's screwing Americans.
And I'm out here in the real world, and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
Tackling issues of the day in an easy way.
He's all man. He's a big, strong-looking guy.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Regular guy talking about regular stuff. Everybody is welcome, regardless of your background or ideology.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
No, ma'am. None at all. But we laugh. In this moment, it is Super Tuesday. We're going to go back into it in the next hour, and we're going to talk about the Democrat strategy from the time Trump clinches the nomination to Election Day, when he attempts to become a Grover Cleveland. You're going to hear a lot of Grover Cleveland between now and Election Day, because Grover Cleveland is the only other president in history, or the first president in history, so far there hasn't been a second, to serve two non-concurrent terms as president, meaning Cleveland won one, didn't run in the middle election, and then won again and won it. So understand, that's what Trump would attempt to do. Now, Trump would be the first guy to tell you it would actually be the third time he's run an election.
You're not telling me the truth.
I mean, in theory, won an election. He didn't technically win the 2020 election, although I know he claims he did. And I know it's hard to look at Joe Biden and believe he's the highest vote getter in the history of our nation. It certainly is. But we don't actually sit here with concrete proof that the Democrats stole it. And nor do we want to become the thing we hate, because if you remember, the Democrats were on TV every single day telling you that Trump had stolen an election, and they had zero proof that he did it.
The campaign accepted help, which we know they did,
The Russians then delivered help, which we know they did.
There is circumstantial evidence of collusion.
The case is more than that, and I can't go into the particulars, but there is more than circumstantial evidence now, so...
You've said on more than one occasion that you've seen ample evidence of the Trump campaign's Russia collusion. Last March, you said you had more than circumstantial evidence of treasonous collusion with Russia.
I've certainly said that there's ample evidence of collusion.
Can you agree?
Oh, I've said there's...
That is totally absurd!
Okay. Did they actually ever turn off one scintilla of evidence of collusion? No. Not even a little. And they lit the country on fire. That's who they are. And I'm telling you this now, okay? And I'm telling you this now for a reason, okay? This is going to be a really tumultuous ride to Election Day. They're going to be running on Republicans or Hitler or white supremacists, transphobe, you know, racist monsters. Women aren't going to have the right to vote if they win. Nobody's going to have the right. That's where this is going between now and Election Day.
Nobody talks anymore about the issues.
No.
They simply just... This man is for toxic drinking water to kill your children. I mean,
but understand, when they lose, they're going to tell you it was stolen, and they're going to continue to fundraise off it for the next go-round.
It costs a lot of money to run for political office.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Hey, girl. There you are. And here I am. Buckling up, Buttercup, for a big hour of Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Dana Perino, co-host of The Five. It is the highest rated show on television in cable news, period. Any hour of the day, any time slot, she's here. She is also, of course, the co-host of America's Newsroom and somebody that will be a big part of our Super Tuesday coverage this evening. Dana Perino stopping by to discuss all things Super Tuesday, the general election. We might even get into Michelle Obama, who told reporters earlier in the day that she's never running for president. So if you're one of those people that likes a cheap headline and an easy column, party is over. I've been telling you this on the show, and I'll get into it in this hour. 888-788-9910. 888-788-9910. You know the rules. Be a Republican, be a Democrat, just don't be a... Okay, Michelle Obama. Ooh, this is right here in the New York Post. Lot of liberals were fantasizing about replacing Joe Biden with Michelle Obama.
Come on, man.
Okay, there was polling. We reported it at great length on this show. Okay, here there was nearly half of Dems want to boot Biden off ticket with Michelle Obama his leading favorite replacement. This was a poll that everybody was running just last week on February the 26th. Okay, that was a Rasmussen poll last week. Everybody said, oh, Michelle Obama's going to run.
The answer would be no. The
answer would be no. Michelle Obama wants nothing to do with running, and I've been telling you this forever. The Obamas are so rich, they're using people as furniture. Okay, they're loaded. They've got a basically a billion-dollar no-show construction job from Netflix where they're just giving money to people who cut white people or bad documentaries. All right, just, you know, and then they check it out and watch it. Just make sure it says Whitey's bad. All right, we're good here. And they move on with their lives. They are parading around the globe, going to one yacht party after another, in some instances commanding nearly $1 million a speech. They live in the wealthiest enclaves in the world. Adding a second presidency to this family doesn't improve their lives in any way.
I agree with that.
Anyway, okay, so as much as Democrats like her, as much as she's a darling of the media, don't ever forget she wrote at great length about the fact that she hated living in the White House. And the last thing anybody wants to do if they have billions of dollars in spectacular prosperity is get out there and use the elbow grease it takes to fight the ground game to be president. Donald Trump, whether you like him or hate him, the work ethic he has is unfathomable to any politician before him or since. This is a guy during elections that was doing 3 rallies a day. Okay, you'd be lucky if you get Joe Biden to do 3 rallies this summer.
Tell him like it is.
Okay, not going to do it. He doesn't go out there. They let Biden on TV yesterday to talk about giving aid to Gaza. And reading off a note card, he actually referred to Gaza as Ukraine two separate times.
That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck.
So you understand, he ain't going to give you the innings. But if you wanted to win this election, you're going to have to give the innings. Here is Biden confusing Ukraine and Gaza. Clip 10.
In the coming days, we're going to join with our friends in Jordan and others in providing airdrops of additional food and supplies into Ukraine and seek to continue to open up other avenues into Ukraine, including the possibility of a Marine corridor to deliver large amounts of humanitarian assistance.
That man belongs in a nursing home, not in the White House.
Coming months, providing airdrops of food and supplies into Ukraine and seek to continue to open up other avenues in Ukraine.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
He's reading off a note card about Gaza. Okay, I promise you, he's just not there. And, you know, I wish him well. I wish him no ill will. I wish the guy well. There but for the grace of God go I. But this fantasy that Michelle Obama was going to come save the day, I've been telling you this on this show forever. She wants nothing to do with the little people. If you want to run for president, you got to go out there and meet you and me. You got to work the rope line. You got to go see the butter cow. You got to campaign. You got to give speeches. You got to take a million selfies. Do you know what Michelle Obama currently does when she goes anywhere? Gets a huge crowd and has to take a million selfies. You can minimize that if you're not running because you're there with the ex-president. The Secret Service has got to whisk you in and out. Okay, if you are running, you can't minimize that because you need to interact with these people. It takes a lot of work. If you're not wired naturally to enjoy people, like I will tell you this. I, as a former cab driver and someone who's a pretty outgoing dude, love meet and greets. It's one of my favorite things I'll ever do. You know who else loved them? Bill Clinton. At times, you might argue Bill Clinton loved the meet and greet a little too much.
This is not okay.
But anyway. Okay, I genuinely love talking to people, and it's the most common note I get, whether I meet somebody at the airport or I meet you at a meet and greet, is like, wow, we actually sit there and have a real conversation, because I like talking to people. But if you don't like talking to people, oh my God, the burden that must be, because not only do you not like talking to them, but you've got to talk to them to the point that your mind is blown. If you're running for president, you literally take, if you are running traditionally, I mean a million selfies during the Iowa caucuses alone, a legitimate million selfies. Okay, that's one state. Okay, if you don't want to be around the stinky little people as the Obamas look at you as, okay, there's no way you're running for president. And I've been telling people that forever. They're parading around on Steven Spielberg's yacht. They're kite surfing with Bono. They do not want to hang out with you and me. And never mind the fact that Michelle Obama probably couldn't win in a general election because as popular as she is with Democrats, she's also the one who banned school lunch for a lot of fat little kids like me. Okay, took away the cookies and the pizza. Okay, those kids are all grown up now, but you better believe they'd hold it against her. We're the fattest country in the world. Okay, by about 30 pounds on average. We're that much fatter than the rest of the world. That's why I always laugh at the people who bash America. Everybody likes to tell you about what's wrong with America. Yo, we live in a country where people put their pets on diets. Their pets on diets. Okay, there's a significant percentage of the world, 30%, that doesn't even have indoor plumbing in the year 2024, let alone food to feed themselves with. Can you imagine a world where everybody else is putting their pet on a diet? The answer is no. Okay, in parts of the world, the pets, they actually become the diets. Okay? I mean,
that can't be good.
No, definitely not if you're a dog. Okay, so realize that. Trump, whatever you think of the guy, has a work ethic. He's a competitor. He fights everybody. Everybody. You know, old school boxers back in the day, like Sugar Ray Robinson, be a good example. Sugar Ray Robinson, who's considered the greatest fighter who ever lived, lost close to 20 fights. Yet he's considered the greatest fighter who ever lived. How could that be, Jimbo? Because he won about 136 other ones. He fought everybody. This guy would fight a parking ticket if you left one on his windshield. I mean, this guy just fought everybody. And he's a competitor, and that's how he's wired. That's how Trump's wired. He'll take the million selfies. He'll do the million rallies. He wants to win. Okay, there are guys in this country that live under the General MacArthur axiom of there is no substitute for victory. and you're going to go out there and fight to the death because you'd rather die than lose. That's who people are. Michelle Obama don't have that. She hates America. She bashes America. She still wants you to believe black women are invisible. That was my favorite tweet in the world when she tweeted from her Martha's Vineyard compound about how invisible black women are in this day and age. I'm like, baby girl, you live in a house that has an airport. You doing okay? But that's my biggest argument with the left, is in the era of identity politics, they're using symbols of achievement to sell us oppression. Rather than the Obamas becoming the first black family to win the White House and saying, you can do it too, they're saying, oh, the deck is stacked. Okay? Black people don't have a chance in this country. It's systemically racist.
Democrats just call everyone racist so they go along with their stupid ideas.
Totally. And Michelle Obama doesn't need to go work a rope line in Iowa to call you racist. She doesn't need to give up her yacht schedule or her, you know, 3-day-a-year speaking schedule where she makes a few million dollars. She doesn't have to stop jet-setting around the globe with A-list celebrities to sit around and call you racist. She has Netflix shows they can produce where whitey's bad. Okay? It's gross. It's divisive. But it's a really comfortable lifestyle, which is why she's never running. But when it comes to the people who are, when it comes to Super Tuesday coverage, okay, there's a thing going on right now where the Democrats, I don't know if you heard, suffered a bit of a blow yesterday at the hands of the Supreme Court, the entirety of the Supreme Court. Not Trump's justices, but the entirety of the Supreme Court, meaning the liberal justices, too. They all voted to keep Trump on the ballot in Colorado. It was a 9-0 majority. So these weren't activist Republicans Trump appointed destroying democracy, as the Democrats would have you believe. This was even the liberals knowing that it's a scam to take a guy off the ballot and claim in the next breath that you were just doing so to protect democracy.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Could you imagine? No, we're just trying to protect democracy. So we're going to remove the guy leading in every poll, which is not democracy, the antithesis of democracy. But that's what they're down to. But what we learned yesterday in the aftermath, because that ballot initiative, that failed. There's other ballot initiatives out there. And there's certainly Jamie Raskin of CNN. Jamie Raskin of CNN. He probably will be of CNN when he's no longer a Democratic congressman from Maryland. But here is Jamie Raskin saying they're still working to have Trump disqualified from the ballot through legislation. Clip 39.
I am working with a number of my colleagues, including Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Eric Swalwell, to revive legislation that we had to set up a process by which we could determine that someone who committed insurrection is disqualified by Section 3 of the 14th Amendment.
I mean, dude.
Oh, Lordy Lord, he's desperate.
Working with my colleagues to revive legislation. It's not going to go anywhere. But why are they trying to revive the legislation? Are you ready for it? Oh, man, I own a Politics to English dictionary. This would be a good time to open it up. Now, wouldn't it? Yes, it would. So why are they trying to revive legislation that'll get Trump off the ballot? Okay, knowing the Republicans control the House and it's not going to pass anyway. Are you ready for it? It's because they just want January 6th in the news.
I'm telling you, that boy's a genius.
The reason they impeached Donald Trump for January 6th after he was no longer the president is because they just wanted January 6th hanging around Republican necks like an albatross.
That's true. That is true.
Okay, the reason they launched a made-for-TV January 6th special committee in the summer of 2022.
That was embarrassing.
It really was, because they brought in an ABC reality show producer to gin it up and get everybody emotional, is because they wanted January 6th in the headlines going into the midterms.
He knows what he's talking about.
The reason they tried this ballot initiative is they want January 6th. They were trying to remove him from the ballot for insurrection, but he's not actually being tried for insurrection.
I think he's got a point.
Yeah, the point is they're all full of But what you're seeing here is they're going to stay on this story because they want to keep it over people's heads, because they see that as a deliverable. Hey, we're not going to January 6th this place if we lose. And I got to be honest with you, I don't know that they can keep that promise. The Democrats are a lot more violent than the Republicans. Was January 6th bad? Yeah. So bad that an unarmed Republican named Ashley Babbitt got shot in the throat. Okay, but every story you heard about people dying on January 6th turned out not to be true, aside from Ashley Babbitt's. Did cops die after the fact? Yes, and I'm sad about that. Did they die from January 6th? No, not according to the coroner. So they've repurposed the story a million ways to make it more ominous for Republicans, but again and again and again. The Democrats told you the last three elections they lost were stolen. 2016 was stolen by Russia. They told us 2004 was stolen from John Kerry because they fixed Ohio. They told us 2000 was stolen from Al Gore because Bush and his cronies down in Florida, mainly his brother Jeb, got this thing over the top. They always tell you it's stolen. And when they don't get their way, they get violent. Okay, you've seen the protests at SCOTUS. You've seen the protest at the White House in the summer of 2020 when they had to build an extra fence because so many Secret Service agents got hit with bricks and rocks. You saw cities get lit on fire, police stations burnt, pretend countries established in Seattle. And all of it was based on a lie that cops were killing unarmed black Americans with a higher rate than white Americans.
That is a fact check false.
To this day, everybody who tells you cops are racist, curiously, doesn't give you any data to go with it.
Put up! Or shut up.
They won't put up, but they won't shut up. And that's where January 6th comes into play. Okay, they can't put up. The guy wasn't charged with insurrection. But they're going to keep claiming that insurrection is a threat to our country and we need to get the guy off the ballot. That has nothing to do with your candidate and Donald Trump and everything to do with their candidate in Joe Biden.
You are correct, sir.
It's the number one children's show in the country.
He's a lot better at radio than he is being a dad.
Oh, snap.
It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Democrats trying to January 6th their way out of this mess. Biden losing in every swing state poll. Right now, as we speak, every swing state poll.
Biden is such a disaster.
So if you're wondering why they were a little upset yesterday in the media, here's a bit of a flashback, clip 43.
And frankly gives him a way out of being held accountable at the ballot box.
Unfortunately for America, the court isn't necessarily wrong. They're not doing their job on a lot of these big issues.
Yeah. A refusal to hold this man accountable and those folk who engaged in insurrection.
It just goes against what our judicial system should be about.
Donald Trump, I believe, is a danger to American democracy.
He can still be the president of the United States. And I thought that the 14th Amendment and our framers knew better.
That was absolutely dreadful.
I thought our framers knew better. Here's the problem, okay? They did know better. They said in the 14th Amendment, if someone participated in an insurrection against the government, they couldn't lead it. Okay? That is actually what happened. And the reason the Democrats are running into fine print with the Supreme Court is because Trump is not charged with participating in insurrection.
Oh, wow!
I'm not telling you I love everything the guy did in the aftermath of the election, but the point is, if you're going to ban someone from the ballot because of a crime, they need to have committed the crime.
Correctamundo.
At the very least, it would help you if they were formally accused of the crime in a criminal court.
Correctamundo.
Is Trump in either of those positions? So make no mistake about it. The Supreme Court did its job. And not everybody was apoplectic. As I said earlier, it kind of turned on Jake Tapper. Clip 45.
Right. The Colorado Supreme Court, of course, wasn't saying, however partisan people might have thought the decision was. Their official explanation was not they didn't like Donald Trump. They said he participated in an erection.
I don't know what just happened.
An insurrection. And I have to say, I got up at 5 this morning to do Casey Hunt's show, and I'm exhausted.
That was embarrassing.
Donald Trump participated in an erection. I mean, again, the guy's got kids. He's been married a few times. I don't doubt he has participated in an erection. But I don't know that that was the problem with January 6th. I think it was, you know, getting up the stairs. The protesters getting up the stairs is the getting up they were concerned with. But even so, January 6th was not a white supremacist coup attempt. They were unarmed. We weren't about to have a new president. We weren't about to be swearing in the guy that was wearing the Chewbacca hat in the chamber. The point is they're desperate. We'll discuss it with Dana Perino next on Fox Across America. There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. It is, of course, Super Tuesday, and no one knows more about it than a woman who's covered how many? I don't even know at this point. I mean, you are Super Tuesday, if we're going to get technical.
I got a tattoo of it.
Is that this would have been a good...
You think I'm joking?
I don't know if you're joking, because you deliver
and
jokes well enough.
You'll never know.
Dana Perino is in studio, keeping the mystery in our relationship.
Yes.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Happy Super Tuesday. Do people say that? I don't know.
I mean, it's not like a national holiday, but I mean, we can make it that way. I think people are excited about the election, mm-hmm. even if tonight is pretty much a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
President Trump is he could win all 15 states that mm-hmm. are up. Nikki Haley might. Some states are proportional, so
yeah.
some are winner take all, some are not. It's just a little bit different. You know, Bill Hemmer will take everybody through all of that, and nobody
yep.
will be left confused. You have to get to a total of 12-15
mm-hmm.
delegates in
yep.
order to seal the nomination. President Trump won't necessarily get there tonight, but he's very close.
He's real close. Has someone told Nikki Haley that these votes have reciprocity on Dancing with the Stars? I'm trying to figure out the move here. Is
yeah.
it a third party move? Is it a...
You know, somebody, his name is Ari Fleischer,
okay.
thought that she, after the South Carolina Saturday mm-hmm. night, remember we,
yep.
we had
mm-hmm.
our coverage
yep.
and it went right into your Saturday night show.
Crazy.
And Ari thought she was setting herself up to run on the No Labels ticket. The
mm-hmm.
No Labels ticket is trying to say, look, let's have a unity ticket, right? This is a fantasy that they've been having for years where you would have a Republican and a Democrat run together on a ticket. And I have to say, if you listen to her speech
mm-hmm.
and you were diagramming the sentences like Carrie on Homeland, you could get to the idea that like, oh, I see it.
Uh-huh.
She's definitely. But she disavowed everybody of that notion
mm-hmm.
over this past week. She said she does not want to run with a Democrat on a ticket. She's a Republican. She's a conservative. And it was interesting to me, too, having been involved in Republican politics for so long, is that she was one of the original Tea Party conservatives. And
wow.
so for some on the right to say that she's of liberal is a little
it's
bit
so dumb.
Ridiculous.
Well, that's
right?
where like that's where Twitter kind of poisons the well a little bit, because there are terms that get thrown around on Twitter like rhino or neocon or like liberal, and they get you likes, but they're not necessarily coming from a place of information.
They also get you disdain.
Yeah,
honestly,
that.
I think they're and not as much,
mm-hmm.
right? But if you're President Trump and tonight you're going to give a speech, do you give a speech in the tone of the Iowa caucus
yeah.
or the New Hampshire primary?
Mm-hmm.
Iowa caucus was very conciliatory, very, I'm happy I won.
Mm-hmm.
Let's all go forward and let's beat Biden. New Hampshire is like, Nikki Haley's the worst.
You believe this girl?
Yeah. And then, like, she's obviously losing. What a loser.
Yeah.
And so since it is obvious he is going to win, and I
yeah.
do not think it would be too far
mm-hmm.
to call him the presumptive nominee at
yeah.
this point, you know, after tonight.
Yeah.
But when you ask me, like, what is her play going forward? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't have
I
an
don't
answer.
Know. Maybe she doesn't.
No, maybe not. I mean, maybe.
She said she's going to stay in while it's competitive, but I don't know how they're defining competitive.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, this is competitive the way a statue and a pigeon are competitive.
Right. Or like, is there a mercy rule on Super Tuesday?
Yeah. Josh, we need to know the spread in Vegas. If he gets up by 55, do they pull the plug?
Yeah.
Dana Perino is in studio. I agree with you that if Trump can win tonight without the Yo Mama jokes and maybe strike the tone he struck yesterday, because I thought most of his speech yesterday after the Supreme Court victory came down was a good look.
It was. And then later on,
yep.
he's doing something in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point he says, we don't need any of the moderates of the party to vote with us. I'm like, actually, sir, yes, you actually do. And frankly, a lot of them probably will go ahead and vote for him because
yeah.
they do not want another 4 years of Biden. But what they really don't want is Biden with the likelihood of Harris taking over at some point.
No, and that's a big ask. I agree on that 1,000%. I think that's what we're going to see going forward. Do you think we've reached the end of these ballot initiatives or these ballot efforts anyway after the ruling in Colorado?
Oh, you mean trying to get Trump
yeah,
off the ballot? Yes.
I think we're done there.
That's done. And in fact, I think it was Maine withdrew
mm-hmm. okay.
that idea. So that is done. And that was a good thing. But I do think that some of the ballot initiatives are very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
For example, You know, what if Steve Garvey, the former Dodgers player, was able to get into the runoff against Adam Schiff?
Yeah.
For that replacement of Senator Dianne Feinstein. I'm watching that race tonight. Oh, listen, that'll be interesting.
Garvey has an open invitation to Fox News Saturday night.
Come on, Garvey.
Let's go, Garvey. Come pinch hit on the show. But no, that would be fascinating. And that's, again, there are a lot of things happening tonight, like you just said, beneath the general election that I think are going to make this very interesting. Because, like, the South Carolina primary, it was over. I mean, you're dumping Gatorade on the winner at 7:01. I think tonight there's other Gatorade to spill.
Yes.
So we probably have a little more of a show.
Yes. And there are some places like, you know, in Texas, Senator Ted Cruz is waiting to find out who will be his opponent.
Yeah.
And there's a Democratic primary there. Colin Allred is the congressman from there. He's very popular.
Yep.
And Ted Cruz will tell you that it's going to be super close. Yeah. He usually wins by 4 or 5 points. But in Texas, if you're a Republican, that feels close.
Yeah, no, that is tight. I wonder how the border is going to be a liability down ballot in Texas. Because I would think it should be, given against Democrats.
I mean, even Democrats are like, we can't do this.
But that's the part of this, okay, that as just speaking on a very human level, not even an analytical level, they really have demonstrated such an indifference to the humanitarian crisis they caused at the border. And I think it's pretty obvious to most of us that this feigned interest in the issue is very politically expedient right now. Do they not know how bad this looks? Or, like, are they just bad at optics is my question.
I think that if you go back a couple of weeks ago, Axios reported a story about how the administration, the Biden administration, went into office and purposely dismantled President Trump's immigration policies, right? And you can track this. Rich Lowry wrote about this on National Review just the other day. You can look at it. But in the Axios piece, they said that in the administration, about several months into it, they're realizing, uh-oh, we think we have a problem here. But because it was so politically toxic to them, to the left, everybody just played hot potato with it. And then what happened? Analysis paralysis. Nobody did anything about it. And now they're in a situation where they think it will be enough for Biden at the State of the Union to say, Republicans won't help me fix it.
Shame on them.
And I don't think that's going to work, but they will try to do that from the Biden campaign, from the White House, and the media will help them.
Yeah, I do see that. We're talking to Dana Perino, and I would expect that the media has figured out, 3 weeks ago, when the special counsel, her report came out with its findings.
I'm with her.
Well done. The media for, about 48 hours was doing its due diligence. They were asking the cognitive questions and they were going in. But they seem to have gotten enough pushback or maybe a memo that he's not coming off the ticket.
No, look, Biden is going to be the nominee. Yeah. And guess what? Breaking news, Fox News alert. Michelle Obama has made it clear she is not going to run for office. So can we put that aside?
Ever.
I sent it to Jesse Waters this morning. I said, I know you're the hardest hit by this.
No, I think there should be a fine on analysts who propose this on the air because she's never running. She didn't want to do this.
Johnny Belisario, who works for Jesse, he wrote back and he said, well, Dana, she didn't say she wasn't running for president of the United States. So there's a chance.
It's so there as like a hit you can always sing as an analyst. Like, well, you know, it's going to run, right? Yeah. She's hanging out on like Spielberg's yacht with Bono.
No, she doesn't want to do
that. No, she has a no-show construction job.
I am surprised at how much the media is willing to just say, no, Biden's fine.
Yeah.
No, he's good.
Well, I think, they've gotten the marching order in the sense that anything but Trump, and if that's the case.
And that might be, I do want to stress.
Yeah.
It is going to be a close election.
Yeah, real tight.
Okay, we're talking about probably coming down to 5 states, 250,000 people that really will make the difference. And so many people have already made up their minds, right? So they are set them aside.
Yep.
How do you turn out the people and how do you make sure that you have everything in place that you can get your people to the polls? That's really all it comes down to.
It is, because it's going to be a squeaker. And if you look at it like a soapbox car race where you got to aerodynamically contour, it's all in play for this one. I think it's going to be great. What I'm really going forward and so excited to watch is we got a long way to go. Okay.
8 months from today.
8 months from today. The amount of plot twists we're about to consume. because it's not going to be what we're looking at. You've got two guys in their late hundreds. There's going to be issues. There's going to be developments. And I'm so fascinated to be sort of on the front lines covering this. I can't
Isn't
even
it
tell
fun?
You. Oh, it's insane. It's great.
And to do it here at a place where we, it's really like working with your family.
Yep.
In a good way.
I tell people, it's a family. If you could like pick your family, just the likable members of your family, though I'm hitting a pretty high percentage, but you're right about that. I say this to people all the time. I wish people who consumed other media outlets, okay, could come here for a day and see what the vibe actually is. Because it's just like being in a really fun high school where everybody sees each other in the halls. We're jokey. We know each other. Secret handshakes.
You put Gutfeld in the trash can. And
yeah, we stuff him in lockers.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot goes on. No, it's true. You get it. And I'm honored to be here with you taking this ride. It's been amazing. There you go. So Josh tells me we have hit the 10-minute mark. As per Dana's retainer, we now go double time if we keep her a second longer. So thank you for this.
In fact, let me just recite for you.
Four score. You know, I wrote a book the other day. You're the best. Good luck tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
The great Dana Perino. Back after this.
It's the show that never hits the books.
I love the poorly educated.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Playing Elton John on Fox Across America. He, of course, one of the biggest pop stars of his generation. I think in this current iteration of pop, the biggest star unequivocally is Taylor Swift. Well, she made a post on Instagram moments ago about Super Tuesday. Unfortunately for Joe Biden, it did not include him.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
Not good. Taylor Swift urging fans to vote in the Tennessee primary on Super Tuesday, but she has not yet endorsed Joe Biden. And they are very desperate for that endorsement because they're losing a lot of the entertainment industry. The rappers are bailing on Biden left and right. Why? Because their friends had more money under Trump than they do under Biden. It's the economy, straight up. Okay, I played you MSNBC clips weeks back about how they did that barbershop segment where they thought they were going to go into a black barbershop and hear that everybody in the barbershop was definitely a Democrat. And what did they say? It was the greatest thing in the world. They're like, yeah, well, you know, when it comes down to it, my friends were doing better under Trump. So despite all the baggage, you understand the baggage doesn't affect the bottom line. Trump tweets something stupid. You don't have to like the tweet. But if you can still afford groceries, you're probably better off with tweet guy than Joe Biden, a guy who could never be in charge of his own Twitter account. Because if someone typed the way he talked, it would look like a cat walked across a keyboard.
When you're right, you're right, and you're right.
So Taylor Swift may yet get to Biden, but I think she's hedging, if only because Biden is the lowest rated president in history. Taylor Swift is the highest rated pop star in the world. He needs her a lot more than she needs him.
Oh, you're right. And when you're right, you're right. And you're always right.
So the only thing she can do in this moment by endorsing Biden now is wind up in that unfortunate situation where she endorses a guy who comes off the ticket. Now she has to endorse a second guy and looks like an idiot.
What can I tell you, kid? You're right. When you're right, you're right. And you're right.
So I don't see a world, okay, where she's endorsing this guy unless we've made it through the primaries. Against all odds, he's still alive and functioning. And she just wants to galvanize liberal Hollywood who live to bash Donald Trump. Absent that scenario, I don't think she's endorsing him anytime soon.
You're absolutely right.
Anyway, what will happen tonight? Sans a Taylor Swift endorsement of Joe Biden. Donald Trump will likely win every state, including the Commonwealth of Virginia. Let's see if Perk agrees. He's on the line in Maryland. Yo, Perk!
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing, buddy?
My man. It was my first week on tour this past week. Of course, you were back home on the East Coast where you belong. But you were on my mind, Perk. It's always nice to get out and meet the Fox fans. But specifically, you know the guys you talk to on Twitter once in a while? Did you not sense that when I met you, I was genuinely thrilled? We met in Pennsylvania in Reading, and I was thrilled to meet you.
Yeah.
Because I know you. There's a guy who tweets at me once in a while. I don't know his name, but he goes by Fozzie the Cat. And he had a very lovely wife, And I met him in Idaho Falls at the Colonial Friday night. And, you know, I'm always excited to meet everybody. But when there's a little bit of a connection on top of it, it's like it's kind of exciting for me. So I'm riding that high right now. And now we get to relive it with this mediocre phone conversation we're having.
Yeah, well, no, it's going to be less than that, honestly. I promise.
Go ahead.
But, yeah, no, Mr. Met, Mikey, is got tickets to see the Braves, the number one team in the National League this year.
Oh, yeah.
So Mikey and I are inviting you and Josh
that
to
sounds
join us.
Terrible.
I know. It's awful.
I'll see if I can get somebody to sit. No, well, it depends on the date. If I don't have TV or something, I'll go. I'll send a stunt double. I have a guy who does – Lincoln does all my stunts now. Lincoln will show up. It'll look like a thinner me. Listen, depending on the date, we'll go. I'd go hang out. I don't know that Josh can sit with Mikey for nine whole innings. He's got to sit with him all day, you know, but I might be able to make it through. That's very nice of you, Perk. What do you think of Super Tuesday?
Oh, it's a sweep. Go ahead and get your brooms out. It's a big sweep, by all means.
Yes.
And I, like Dana Perino says, I'm really looking forward to seeing what Steve Garvey and Adam Schiff do out there in California. That's one, yes, because of baseball, but also because the huge dichotomy between the two. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're huge left, huge right, and it'll be – well, I'd say Garvey's more moderate, wouldn't you?
Oh, I mean, yeah, but I mean, especially in California versus what the rest of them are doing out there, Steve Garvey would do fine. But, you know, Schiff, if you get Schiff out of there, it's addition by subtraction because he's a dirtbag.
Without a doubt.
He's just
a dirtbag.
That exists in politics. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, speaking of dirtbags, the baseball commissioner, he with those new uniforms and everything.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you saw this, but they're to get people to come into the stadiums. They're going to put stripper poles in the batter circle
with those see-through pants. Do you know what I said?
Exactly.
I said it on America's Newsroom and almost got fired. I said from now on in Major League Baseball, when the ump calls a ball, he might be talking about the batter and not the pitcher. Not good. Not good, Perk, but you still got the goods. We'll talk. I will keep your predictions in mind, and we'll work on that Met game just the same.
Take care, my friend.
My man, the Perk man. Nothing that excites me more. This Friday, when I'm an amaturo at the Amaturo Theater in Fort Lauderdale, you know, there's a chance I'm going to meet somebody in person that calls into the show or texts me on the Twitter. And it's always exciting for me. It's exciting for me to meet anybody who's crazy enough to listen to what I do. But for those of you I have like this long distance tweet relationship with or phone relationship, it's amazing. I can tell you there's nothing Jenny and Lincoln are more excited about than we're going down to Alabama. Okay, we're going to be in Huntsville on April 13th. We're going to meet Tommy and Laura Daniel. They named their dog after my kid. That's amazing. And we're also going to have a beer with Michael, who calls into the show.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
No, we're going to do it all. We want to be with our people. We're real folks. That's the whole hook of what we do. It's not that we have real talent. It's that we have real lives. We're real people. Talk about real things. And at the end of the day, when Super Tuesday is over tonight, the reason Trump will have probably swept the table and maybe even widened a general election gap on Biden is for all of the hoopla and hysteria and crazy tweets, Trump is focusing on things that resonate with real people. Jobs, safety, border security, and that is why he's going to win.
That is correct.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.